Calvary Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Yeah, they may be pretty. They may be successful. They may even be famous. But watch that list and watch how it falls. It changes day by day. Names come and names go so quickly that it'll make your head spin. Well, today, there's a few star power of these girls that their popularity today may be forgotten by tomorrow. And I want to tell you about a teenage girl who, even though she was never to be forgotten and she will never be popular with every generation and every culture, I'm sorry, read that incorrectly, that she is popular with every generation and with every culture, who might not be on the radar as one of these women that everybody aspires to be. Her name is Mary. And she tends to get a lot of media exposure every year around Christmas time. I think I'm getting too old. I better put these on so I can actually see. In most ways, Mary did not fit the normal criteria we use to ascribe celebrity status of today. She was not wealthy. We don't know how attractive Mary was. And besides from within her own little town, she was not even known. But there's something about Mary that captures our attention and our affection, and that is her faith. Of course, I'm talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus, an ordinary girl with extraordinary faith. When it comes to Mary, people tend to go from one extreme to the other. They either lift her up and magnify her so much that Jesus actually takes second place, or they don't give her the attention that she deserves and therefore is not brought to recognition. There's a Christian magazine called Christianity Today that did a survey and asked this question: what is your main image of Mary? And here's some of the results. A humble servant of God, 69%. A peaceful mother, 5%. A Catholic icon, 5%. A tenacious believer, 4%. None of the above, 4%. Jesus' first apostle, 3%. An unwed pregnant teen, 3%. An anxious mother, 2%. Faithful disciple at the cross, 2%. Witness of Jesus' death and resurrection, 2%. A seeker of justice, 1%. Now let me ask you this. What is your main image of Mary? Now listen, don't just worship her, but then again, don't ignore her either, because she did play an important part in the life of Jesus. But what you should do in recognition is, we can learn from Mary. And what can we learn from her? By observing her journey of faith, which reveals the step up for the journey of faith. So today, I want to read from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greeting, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation was this. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How could this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall become called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, the bondservant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Precious Father, we thank you. We thank you for this story and this proclamation, O God, how you spoke to a young lady and you revealed your plan for her life and the life of each and every person that is to come after her. Father, we ask that your message be spoken today through your servant and that your people may hear your word and put it into action. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, let's begin. Let's look at this step of journey of faith. The first point that I want to make is we have to be sensitive. God may surprise you. Imagine Mary's surprise when the angel gave her the assignment of Jesus' earthly mother. When you consider Gabriel's greeting, you can well understand why Mary was perplexed and afraid. Greeting, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Why would an angel come and greet her? In what way was she highly favored by God? How was God with her? All of these things Mary thought to herself, and her response revealed her humility and her honesty before God. You see, first of all, God has already planned the future with each and every one of us included in it. That is our first point. Now, I may not know what the future holds, and you may not know what the future holds, but one thing is for sure, is God has a whole future in his mind, and you and I are included in it. Ask yourself this question. Did you envision 20, 30 years ago that you would be where you are today? I know I surely hadn't seen myself standing here before you guys bringing the word of God to you. Surprise! Here I am. Who would have thought that a boy from Port Sulphur, Louisiana, would be chosen by God, the universe of the universe, to stand on his behalf and be his voice? Wow. What a thought. Never in a million years. Like Mary, I am astonished of what God has thinking when he chose me. I, like Mary, probably had to ask myself, are you talking to me? Surely there's got to be somebody else here, Lord. You got to be kidding, right? Where's the joke? Tell me the punchline. You know, but in all of this, of course, don't try to resist God. Because you know what? He is persistent. He will carry through with his plan. Surprise, surprise, surprise. What about surprises? Have you ever been surprised? What is the best part of being surprised? Is it receiving something or the part of not knowing? Here's a surprise for you. How do you feel when all of a sudden a car pulls up into your driveway and you recognize the car and it's your relative and they're like, hey, we're here for the next 2 weeks. Surprise. That's a wonderful surprise for some of us. Hopefully you got the next 30 seconds to go and wash the dishes, put the clothes to wash, sweep and mop the floor and everything, clean the bathroom, all in the next 15 seconds. Because you know what? The luggage have already gotten out of the trunk. The kids have already run inside. And here comes your brother, your sister, your brother-in-law, and your sister-in-law. Maybe your mom and dad. Who knows? Surprise, right? Well, just like Mary's life, life of faith is full of surprises. We should keep our eyes open to the fresh new idea from an awesome God that we serve. Just like Mary, it could happen at any time in any part of your life. Point number two, Mary responded with humility and honesty when faced with God's surprise plan. She certainly never expected to see an angel and receive such a special favor from heaven. There is nothing unique about her that such a thing should happen. If she had been different from the other Jewish girls as some theologians claim she was, that she might have said, "Well, it's about time. I've been expecting you." No, all of this was a surprise to her. Gabriel then gave her the good news that she would become the mother of the promised Messiah, whom she would name Jesus, which means Jehovah is salvation. The surprise wasn't that the Messiah was coming, because all the Jews believed in the coming of the Messiah. They knew about the prophecies. No doubt she had heard the words of Jeremiah 7:14 many times, which says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." You see, she also had heard many times of the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 6, which said, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." See, the surprise wasn't that the Messiah would come. The surprise for Mary was that she would be the one to give birth to this Messiah. And for that, we say this God that we are talking about is a God of surprise. He loves to take ordinary people, an ordinary thing, and make them extraordinary. Mary was young, poor female, all characteristic that to her people in her day would make her seem unusable by God for any major task. But God chose Mary for one of the most important acts of obedience he has ever demanded of anyone. You may feel that your ability, your experience, your education may make you an unlikely candidate for God's service. But don't limit God. We should never put a limit on God's plan or his ability to carry out his plan. He can use us if you trust in him. But you have to be sensitive to God's surprises. Be humble when God chose you to bless others. Be honest when you feel that you're not up to the task. Just remember, he will equip those whom he calls. Give you a little illustration of this God that I am talking about. Now, we don't get the chance here to see such a thing. Snow. Rare. And when we get, it's more like ice water floating down. But if you're like John from Michigan or anywhere else that is real cold up north, you actually get to see true snow. Now, one thing we know and you've heard already, each snowflake is different. There are no two snowflakes that are the same. The same God that sends down a different snowflake with each and every one of us did something to us that is different from each and every one. Your fingerprint. No two people in this world have the same fingerprint. That's an awesome God. That is the God we talk about. See, God loves to act in fresh new ways in the lives of his children. So again, I say to you, you may not feel that you have the ability, the experience, or education that makes you an unlikely candidate for God's service. You are actually a great candidate. God is looking for ability, and he is looking for availability. So be humble and honest with God and watch him surprise you with purpose. Which brings us to the second point of today's message, and that is Mary's journey of faith. Submit to God's plan for your life. Now, you may not understand his plan, but you have to submit it to his plan. You have to submit to his plan, and all you have to do is trust in him. Here's a story for you. There's a high school football coach, and he has a nephew who is blind, legally blind. And every day for years, his nephew showed up at practice. He suited up, went out there with the team, but he never got on the field, not even on the practice field. But you see, one day, his uncle thought, you know what? I'm going to do something special. So he got with the quarterback, And he called his nephew over after practice. And every day, they would run a play. And his uncle told him, he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to receive the ball. I want you to hold it tight. I want you to run straight ahead. And when you hear the whistle blow, I want you to stop and wait for your teammate and then come back to the sideline. Every afternoon after practice, that's what they did. The quarterback stepped back, handed the ball off. Young man received the ball, and he ran straight ahead until he heard his uncle blow the whistle. One day on a Friday night, opportunity became available. The name of the play was called Surprise, Surprise. So his uncle looked back, and he yelled, Surprise, Surprise. And three people got up from the bench, and they ran onto the field, and three people on the field ran to the sideline. Quarterback calls the play in the huddle. Young man knew he was to take three steps from the huddle, and that was his position, and wait for the receiver, for the quarterback to call for the ball. Quarterback calls for the ball, reaches back, hands the ball off. Young man takes off, holding the ball real, real tight, runs straight ahead. He can hear the crowd cheering. All of a sudden, he hears the whistle. He stops. His teammates come over. They all congratulate him. He takes the ball, and he runs over to the sideline. He had no idea what the plan was or how it was to be performed to get him to score that touchdown. You see, it's football season, so I've got to throw a little bit of football in here. I'm sorry for talking football. Some of you all may understand. Some of you all may not understand. But he had no idea how this was going to happen. He did not know that the center was going to go down and knock out the middle linebacker. He had no idea the two guards were going to open up a hole to where he can run through and not trip over anybody. He had no idea that the tight end was going to come across and take out the free safety, leading a clear path to the end zone. All he knew is what he was taught. And that was to receive the ball, hold it tight, run straight ahead, and listen for the whistle. See, you don't know what God's plan is. You have no idea. I don't know. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But God knows what he has for you tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years from now, till the day you die. He has a plan. All you have to do is be submissive to his plan. Mary would submit herself to the Lord even though she didn't understand it all. She simply asked for clarification about something she believed was going to happen. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 35 and 37. And the Word of God says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she whom was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. With a quiet faith, Mary accepted the angel's explanation and submitted herself to the Lord. If we look at Luke 1:38, it says, and Mary said, behold, the Lord's bondservant, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. You see, Mary surrendered herself first to the Lord and then to his plan. She didn't have an idea of how this was going to happen. She didn't know what was going to happen. Only thing, she was told, this is what was going to happen. What about you? Have you surrendered to his plan? See, Mary did when she said, I am the Lord's servant. There's a wonderful childlike aspect to her faith. Just like children, young and naive, she believed in God and believed in his work. In Luke 1:34, but Mary said to the angel, how would this be since I am a virgin? You want to talk about breaking news? This was some very astonishing news. Mary was told that she would fall pregnant and give birth to a son, and he would have deity in his bloodline, and he would one day be the king of Israel. So Mary asked the angel, how could this possibly be since I am a virgin? Literally, what she was saying is, since I don't know a man, or I have not had any sexual relation with a man, how could this be? See, Mary's question was not of one of disbelief, because she believed exactly what the angel had told her. She did not ask for any kind of confirmation as Zechariah had. She simply didn't understand how she could possibly become pregnant. She didn't laugh like Sarah did when she was told that she was going to bear a son at an old age. Mary just did not dismiss the word of the angel, but took it to heart and trusted in God's plan. A little boy goes to the doctor for a checkup, and the doctor takes the, make sure I get this right, otoscope, and he sticks it in his ear, and he says, "Do you think I'll see Big Bird in there?" The little boy didn't move a muscle. Next, the doctor took a tongue depressor, opened up his mouth, and he shines a light in, and he says, "Do you think I'll find Cookie Monster in there?" Again, the little boy didn't say anything. Next, he takes a stethoscope, and he puts it on his chest, listens to his heart. And the doctor asks, "Do you think I'll hear Cookie Monster?" No, I already said that. I'm sorry. "Barney in there?" And the little boy looks up, and he says, "No, because Jesus lives in my heart. Barney is on my pajamas." You see, that boy looked and he says, "No, that's not going to happen." You see, because this little boy at an early age was taught by his parents that Jesus lives in your heart. And at an early age, he believed that because that's what he was told. He believed what his parents told him, just as we should believe what God tells us. The same was true with Mary. With absolute trust, Mary bows herself to the will of God and declares her to be his servant. You see, when God has a rightful place in our heart, we will respond in faith to serve God in whatever call he has for us. Regardless of the consequences, like Mary, we too should say, "May it be as you have said." You see, Mary understood the issues of faith and conviction to stand up for Christ. So the question is, do you have that same faith? And what is faith? Well, I'll tell you what faith is not. Faith is not a blind leap. We respond to a faithful God and a firm foundation, a solid rock. Faith is not a blank check. It's not about telling God what to do. It's not like he's some kind of cosmic genie that is just waiting to grant you your three wishes. Faith is not a bad choice. We respond to a loving God, one we can put all of our trust and hope into. Faith is about having conviction in God's character, point number two. But let me tell you what faith is. Because see, faith is a bold conviction. Think about what it means to be bold. Think about when you're looking at something in a book or in a magazine or wherever, and you see this bold word. It stands out. It's different. It could be seen from farther away than any other normal word that you're trying to read. What about us? Are we bold in our conviction? Do we stand out? Are we different? Can people see us as a different person than all of those that are around us? That is a bold conviction. When you stand out, just as a bold word stands out on a page. Faith is a deep, settled assurance that God will do what he has promised. You see, God did not fail those in the Bible, and he won't fail us either. When we have a bold conviction, we will submit our life to God's plan for our life. Question: what is God's plan for your life? Just like Mary, God's plan for our lives centers around the person Jesus Christ, to be saved through repentance and faith in him as the Savior, to see him, to share with him with others, Have you submitted to God's plan for your life? If not, ask yourself, why? Why haven't I? In the journey of faith, we need to be sensitive to God's surprise and to be ready to submit to God's plan for your life. Last point of this all is to sing a new song. Someone once said, when we are walking with God, there will be a song in our heart. And I say, and your journey will be filled with joy. If we find this to be true in Mary's life, see, Mary's song can be found in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And as we read these words of Mary, we might wonder how an ordinary individual could spontaneously produce such poetry. Well, here's the secret. Mary was just quoting Psalms, things that she had heard time and time again, and that we can find in the Old Testament today. She obviously held them close to her heart. She was full of God's Spirit and God's Word. So I tell you, be filled with God's Spirit and God's Word. The background for this passage is Elizabeth and Mary's exchange for good news with each other. Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, and Mary had just found out that she was pregnant with Jesus. Mary's song began this very way. Luke 1, verse 46 and 47. My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior. You see, Mary's song is often called the Magnificat, because the first word in the Latin translation of this passage is magnify or glorify. Mary's song has often been used as a basis for choral music and hymns. Most importantly, it can be used to teach us how to sing to the Lord joyfully. Her joy overflowed from her heart through her lips. What about your song? What song is in your heart? Does the song that's in your heart overflow from your heart and through your lips? Or is the song in your heart dim and weak and barely makes it into your mouth? See, this time of year, we should be singing a joyful song. And that joyful song should warm our heart. And these words should pass our lips. You can rest assured that whatever is in your heart will come out of your mouth. Number two, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and His Word, your heart will rejoice in praise. See, Mary's heart was full of joy. For her song was full of joy, she teaches us how to sing with joy. From Mary's journey of faith, we can learn to rejoice in what God has done for you. Let's take a look at Luke 1, 46, 49. And the Word of God says, and Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the humble state of his bondservant, for behold, from this time on, generation will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. To begin with, God had saved her. She said, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mary was no different than either one of us right now. You see, Mary was a sinner just like us, and she needed to trust in the Lord for her eternal salvation. Not only had he saved her, but he has also chosen her to be the mother of the Messiah. You think about it. I have nothing to be joyful about? Well, I beg to differ, because we just celebrated Thanksgiving, and I saw a lot of these little leaves on these pallets that we had up here. Things to be thankful for. If you can be thankful for some of the things that God has done in your life, shouldn't that bring joy to your life? This little paper could not hold all of the things that we should be thankful for. If you really wanted to write down everything that you wanted to be thankful for, this little leaf would reach the ceiling, would reach the floor, would touch that wall, and would touch that wall. And then I still wonder if you could write it all on that leaf. We have a lot to be thankful for, and we have a lot to be joyful for, because God is with us. God, has God saved you? If he hasn't, he wants to. And he asks if he can save you. All you have to do is trust and surrender to his plan for your life. In the second part of Mary's song, we can learn too, rejoice in what God will do through you. See, Mary was full of joy because she knew that God was going to use her to raise his son, who would impact generation after generation. In verse 50, it says, "And his mercy is to generation after generation toward those who feared him." Through the child that she was to bear, God would be merciful to all. And you know what? We are part of that generation to generation, because God didn't stop saving when he died on the cross. Jesus continued on, and he is still in the business of saving souls today. All you have to do is be willing. Willing to submit to him, accept who he is, acknowledge who you are, and follow his teachings. Still today. In verse 54 and 55, she sings, "He has given help to his servant Israel in remembrance for his mercy, just as he spoke to our father, to Abraham, and his descendants forever." Mary was aware that the child that she was to give birth to was the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham and to send a needed Savior to the world. Like Mary, you can rejoice in what God wants to do through your life. He wants to be your Savior, and he wants to do incredible things through you. You can rejoice because no matter who you are, no matter how insignificant you think you are, no matter how important you may feel, Mary's songs remind us that God's great love is for each and every one of us. So in conclusion, Mary's journey of faith reminds us to be sensitive to God's surprise, submit to God's plan, and sing a new song. Where are you in the journey of faith today? Which step do you need to take? Have you noticed not everybody sings for joy at Christmas? Why? Is it because they haven't seen the birth of Jesus? Is it because their heart hasn't been touched with the message from God that Jesus came to save all? Is it because they're living a false hope? Not believing in Jesus Christ. Not believing in the things that are written in this book. But that could change, and that can change today. All you have to do is be willing to submit. Submit to the Word of God. Believe. I don't know the plans. You don't know the plans. But God does. They're written down. He knows it, and he will fulfill it, just as he has done up to this day. Because Mary had a joy, true joy of Christmas, Christ Jesus, no wonder why she can sing with true joy. But you know what? You have Jesus too. He's here. Every day he wakes up and he looks down and he says, "I am waiting for you."
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.